On their third trip, they played 48 times for a total of 172 hours on stage. The last two Hamburg gigs in November and December of 1962 involved another 90 hours of performing. All told, they performed for 270 nights in just over a year and a half. By the time they had their first burst of success in 1964, in fact, they had performed live an estimated 1,200 times. Do you know how extraordinary that is? Most bands today don't perform 1,200 times in their entire careers. The Hamburg Crucible is one of the things that set the Beatles apart. They were no good on stage when they first went there, and they were very good when they came back, Norma went on. They learned not only stamina, they had to learn an enormous amount of numbers, cover versions of everything that you can think of. Not just rock and roll, a bit of jazz, too. They weren't disciplined on stage before that, but when they came back, they sounded like no one else. It was the making of them. Let's now turn to the history of Bill Gates. His story is almost as well known as the Beatles. Brilliant young math whiz discovers computer programming, drops out of Harvard, starts a little computer company with his friends called Microsoft. Through sheer brilliance and ambition and guts, builds it into the giant of the software world. That's the broad outline. Now, let's dig a little bit deeper. Gates's father was a wealthy lawyer in Seattle, and his mother was the daughter of a well-to-do banker. As a child, Bill was precocious and easily bored by his studies. So his parents took him out of public school and at the beginning of seventh grade sent him to Lakeside, a private school that catered to Seattle's elite families. Midway through Gates's second year at Lakeside, the school started a computer club. The mother's club at school did a rummage sale every year, and there was always the question of what the money would go to, Gates remembers. Some went to the summer program where inner-city kids would come up to the campus. Some of it would go for teachers. That year, they put $3,000 into a computer terminal down in this funny little room that we subsequently took control of. It was kind of an amazing thing. It was an amazing thing, of course, because this was 1968. Most colleges didn't have computer clubs in the 1960s. Even more remarkable was the kind of computer Lakeside bought. The school didn't have its students learn programming by the laborious computer card system like everyone else was doing in the 1960s. Instead, Lakeside installed what was called an ASR33 teletype, which was a time-sharing terminal with a direct link to a mainframe computer in downtown Seattle. The whole idea of time-sharing only got started in 1965, Gates continued. Someone was pretty forward-looking. Bill Joy got an extraordinary early opportunity to learn programming on a timeshare system as a freshman in college in 1971. Bill Gates got to do real-time programming as an eighth grader in 1968. From that moment forward, Gates lived in the computer room. He and a number of others began to teach themselves how to use this strange new device. Buying time on the mainframe computer the ASR was hooked up to, of course, was expensive, even for a wealthy institution like Lakeside, and it wasn't long before the $3,000 put up by the Mother's Club ran out. The parents raised more money. Students spent it. Then a group of programmers at the University of Washington formed an outfit called Computer Center Corporation, or C-Cubed, which leased computer time to local companies. As luck would have it, one of the founders of the firm, Monique Rona, had a son at Lakeside, a class ahead of Gates. Would the Lakeside Computer Club, Rona wondered, like to test out the company's software programs on the weekends in exchange for free programming time? Absolutely. After school, Gates took the bus to the C-Cubed offices and programmed long into the evening.